This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today is my monthly Conversations with Carol show. What that means is I don't have any guests, there's no specific topic, which leaves more time for you and I to be able to chat and for me to share my medical intuitive skills with you. Now, when you call me, and I'm going to give you the number, it's 877-230-3062. You can ask me about health issues. You can ask me about maybe career changes. Right now, there's a lot of dynamics that are going on in the field and a lot of change as we're preparing for that 2015 energy around divine appreciation, which really does mean a lot of new beginnings. So there's a lot of dynamics that are in the works right now that are really influencing the decisions, our direction, getting back in touch with ourselves. So if you have a question for me about your health or about any of those things or about soul's purpose, then call me. You can call me at 877-230-3062. I always love to take your calls, and part of the purpose of the Conversations with Carol show each month is so we can really I can really devote the time to being able to answer your questions. So I'm looking forward to talking to you. I also want to remind you that I have a November Enter to Win promotion that's going on right now on my homepage, www.ritberger.com. And for a lot of the people who listen to my show and who have come to my events, they go, I always thought your name was Reitberger. And I said, well, it is, but it's spelled Reitberger. And if I say Reitberger, everybody goes W-R-I-T-E or something, or R-I-T. So anyway, it's actually spelled Reitberger. So you can just go to my homepage. There'll be a pop-up that'll come up that says Enter to Win, a one-hour free drawing with me. And all you need to do is submit your email address, and then you will become a person that will get on the list to be able to win a free reading with me. And if you have friends that you want to tell about me, or that they've been maybe talking about needing a reading or wanting a reading, then you can also share with them that they can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Put the enter to win icon that comes up, image that comes up, or you can even go to the enter to win at the top of the home page. So again, it's going to be taking place the whole month of November. And then what I'm going to be doing is drawing the winner the December 1st, and then I'll be notifying them by email. So it's a great way for us to get a chance to know each other by doing that hour reading. We cover a lot of information. And it's very dynamic. It's very much dialogue. And then I share what I've picked up, and I'll even call in your celestial helpers if I need clarity, or you need clarity, or a sense of direction. So there's a whole really gamut of things that we can cover in that 1 hour that we get to spend together. Also, when you're on my website, go in and check out all of my online downloads that I have. These are downloads that I've done from webinars and classes that I've taught online. And all you do is just go through. I have a big moving banner on the top of my homepage. I've got a confidence webinar that I did that's available for download, and then others. So just please check me out and look at what's going on. I'm always adding new things to the website to not only keep it dynamic, but to really offer a focus of where my listeners on my radio and then a lot of the followers on my database have an interest in. And you really help me decide what I'm going to be teaching. So just go to my website again, enter to win the free reading, and it's www.ritberger.com. Well, one of the things that I always do when I start the Conversations with Carol show, meaning I start preparing for it, I always go into a place of quiet and ask the celestial helpers, the angels and the guides, to come forward and to offer any insight that will be of value for us at this particular time, present moment, and moving into the future. And one of the things that, of course, they went in and reiterated is the fact that we have literally been in a time of extreme contrast that started in mid-August. And extreme contrast just means that the tension between who we are and our soul's purpose and the way we become distracted or take those detours from that soul's purpose is really very blatant. It's very much in our face. It's very, very clear through our words, actions, and deeds that what we're about to say, what we're thinking, and the direction that we're going to go, what extreme contrast says is that, are you sure you really want to do that, or do you just need to stop and take a deep breath, look at the contrast, and be able to use that contrast to see if what your thoughts are doing are repeating old thinking patterns and emotional reactions to situations, or are these thoughts literally new, original, different, changing in a way that it will allow you to actually alter the course that you're on and to be able to get back into alignment with the soul. One of the things that's really important for me to share is that the soul isn't up there judging us. And when I say up there, it means that the soul is connected to the celestial helpers in the universe. And there's no judgment in the field of the universe of this consciousness. All there is just information. What we as humans do is we judge the quality of our thoughts based on emotion. So with the energy right now, it's just saying stop and take a look at the quality of those thoughts. Are those thoughts going to manifest for you what you're truly desiring, both in your health or relationships, quality of life, success, career, whatever it may be that you're focused on? If you come up with a knowing inside, and it really appears in its presence as a sense of calm, a sense of knowing, and you don't feel like you're being, again, the tension of the opposites, then that lets you know that the thought and actions that you're about to proceed on are in alignment with your soul's purpose. So again, there's no judgment. The mind is what is judgmental in our humanness. And the reality of the judgmentalness and the criticalness of the mind is that it just wants us to survive. And if that means staying with what's tried and true, and that's going to keep us in that safe place, then by all means, then we need to stop and think about, do we want to stay there, or is there creating habits or impacting our self-esteem, or is it eroding our sense of self? And that's the value of contrast. That's the value of thought. That's the value of the energy at where it is right now. And one of the things that the celestial helpers have been saying continually as we started out 2014, the year of healing on a higher level, is that you're really better off doing nothing than repeating the past, especially if the past did not work for you. We can repeat the past from the sense that we can use that past and those experiences and memories and emotional reactions as a way to be able to discern the choices we're about to make. But to actually repeat those patterns puts us in a place of being limited in what we're actually able to manifest on this earth plane. Knowing all that information, again, then being connected to that again through the helpers, they wanted me to go in and to share with you this particular message. And that message is really one of the first principles of the universe. And it's one of the principles that was used in the Hermetics philosophy as far as looking at the way that life exists, the creation, the evolution that comes from it, and then something that just basically is an underlying. All seven of these principles are underlying absolute principles, sometimes called laws, that direct everything that exists in matter to the focus of becoming whole, becoming higher in vibration, refining yourself. So the first principle in the Hermetic philosophy is the principle that all is mental. It's the principle of mentalism. And what this principle reminds us, that all is mind, meaning that all that materializes begins first with a single thought. He explains that all of the phenomenal universe and world that we live in, the materialistic world, is merely a mental creation of the mind. Our mind, the mind of others, and then as the teachings of Hermetic philosophy tell us, that it is also the thoughts of the divine mind. When we combine all of those different minds, then what we do is there's actually a field of all of living field of transformational consciousness. So what this principle is telling us is that everything that manifests in our material world and that also impacts this living field of consciousness of the all, meaning ourselves and others and this divine mind, the divine source, really begins with a single thought. And what we do with that thought really is what manifests the outcome that we experience in the material world. Now, the value, as they keep reminding me also, is the value of understanding this principle is that it enables us to create the thoughts that we wish to manifest, the outcome that we desire, rather than manifesting the outcome that we are just repeating. This universal principle also allows us the opportunity to be able to monitor the quality of our thoughts. If we remember that everything that we experience personally is a result of our thoughts and that we can monitor those thoughts based on the emotional reaction that we place with them, then what we're able to do is we're able to change those thoughts and the emotional attachment that's associated with them and really realize that it's that habitual pattern of thinking that creates the limitations that makes it really difficult for us to manifest what we desire and what makes this work on this earth plane feel hard or feel like we're struggling or that we're suffering. If we were to remember the first principle that everything is thought and that everything that is manifested is a representation of those thoughts, and if we manifest something that doesn't feel right to us, then what this principle is also telling us is that we can change those thoughts. And the reality of it is, when it comes down to this law of mentalism, is that the only thing that we can do is change our thoughts. We really can't change the thoughts of others. We can just merely change our thoughts. And in doing so, our thoughts will literally be an impetus or a motivation or a reflection or spark contemplation in someone else to review their quality of thoughts and see if their thoughts are in alignment with the divine truth, which is that we are all creator, the creator is us. Therefore, whatever we think when it's in alignment with the thoughts of our higher self, then we manifest in the alignment with our true soul's purpose. It's important to remember that the human mind is an exquisite thought-producing machine. However, it's also important to remember that the mind, the brain, isn't capable of discerning the quality of the thoughts that it's producing or understanding how those thoughts are going to impact our lives, both the quality of it, our relationships, and also our health. Therefore, the brain just merely sees its job as taking in information, going through and evaluating that information and making choices, which, of course, is producing thoughts without any regard to how those thoughts are going to manifest. Now, that's a very important part of mentalism and the principle of mentalism because it says that all is mental. So we also can change our thoughts, but if we get a tipping point in this field of consciousness where like-minded souls and beings are changing their thoughts, that vibrational frequency, because thought is vibration, is going to help us reevaluate our thoughts and will be the catalyst for us to look at changing them. So when we're armed with the understanding of this principle, what we can do is we can actually unlock many of the doors of our mental and psychic abilities that make it possible to truly become a master of our destiny, which basically is mastering our thoughts in order to produce the thoughts, create the thoughts, produce the thoughts, manifest the thoughts that truly will give us the quality of life and the health that we desire. In other words, what it means is that we're able to transmute thoughts that are limiting into thoughts that are liberating. But we can't do that if we're so busy generating thoughts that are repetitions of the past, because it's like we get stuck in a quicksand and we feel like we're drowning or we're stuck or we can't move forward. All that metaphor is telling us is that the thoughts that we're creating are just merely a reflection of thoughts that we've been creating, and therefore we're caught in the habits of those thoughts rather than being able to step away individually to look at our thoughts to be able to change. In the principle of mentalism, transmutation is a term that means to change from one nature, form, or substance into another. In the case of mental transformation, transmutation, it means changing the mental states. Now, that means thoughts, emotions, attitudes, and beliefs that we have about ourselves and what we're capable of and the quality of our life and our self-worth and self-esteem is to change those in a way that they now become of service to us instead of keeping us trapped in the limitations. And we do that by merely changing the thought. If we transmute the thought, then the emotional emotions we attach to that thought are not a repetition of the old. They're completely new. Therefore, they allow us to manifest something different. I had an event this weekend, it was called Spend a Day with Carol, that created the sacred space for the participants to be able to ask questions that they wanted to ask that they really couldn't necessarily ask in their everyday lives or others in their everyday lives. Excuse me, because of the consciousness that we get into on how we go through our daily tasks. So in this environment, the space was created that any question and the intention, any question that is asked for the divine goodness of the individual and all who were in the room at this time. And we talked about everything. We talked about the law of magnetic attraction. We talked about manifestation. And at one point in time in the class, it came down to discussing consciousness. And that discussion of consciousness really was an eye-opener for everyone because many of us think that consciousness is merely thought. But in reality, if we look at it, yes, it is thought, but it's a lot more. Thought is literally the initiator of the movement that creates the rhythm, the activity, the polarity, the movement, the cause and effect in the living field of transformational consciousness. Now, that living field of consciousness, remember, is my thought, your thought, thought of others. It's about the evolution of those thoughts. It is void of emotional judgment and discernment associated with emotions. It's just pure thought. But what this field of consciousness does is that it takes in our thoughts and how we use those thoughts to be able to create the change that we desire. When we, as an individual, create a different thought, it actually puts a ripple into this living field of consciousness that allows that thought that we've created void, free of all emotions, to literally be like dropping a pebble in a still water and watching the ripples of that move away from where we dropped it and move out into this field of living consciousness as if it is a tsunami, a big wave, even though it may appear as a ripple, to ask others in their thinking in this field of transformational consciousness to really go in and look at where their thoughts are. When we first enter into consciousness, we take with us the baggage of emotions and attitudes, beliefs, and core values that are really the perception of others. Down deep below that is really our original thought, meaning free of judgment, of emotions, that has a different attitudinal perception of how we live life. Beliefs. If we remove the BE and then also the F from the word beliefs, what we find is that when we created those beliefs, they were a part of a thought process. But over the course of time, what has happened is then they have become our masters. And now we allow those beliefs, because of the emotional entanglements and the reflection of those beliefs based on other people's opinions, expectations, then what we do is we find ourselves like a hamster on a wheel and just repeating things. So the law of mentalism basically says to us, it's okay to do that, should you choose to, but true evolution, both of the individual and the spiritual nature of who we are and the all of who we are, means that we must really monitor the quality of our thoughts and be willing and open even if it feels hard or it feels difficult or it feels like we're going to struggle and suffer, be willing to look at those thoughts and to strip those thoughts of the emotions and the beliefs we have around who we are and what we're capable of becoming. And to use the principle of mentalism, all is mental, to be able to use the energy of transmutation to take those thoughts and manifest new thoughts that truly liberate us from our past and liberate us from that group consciousness that basically has been fear-based for thousands of years. This is what enlightenment basically is, and that's what they wanted me to share, is that enlightenment basically is going within to become in light with your heart and your soul, to look at things differently, and therefore the thoughts that we create will naturally transmute into the thoughts that are in alignment with our soul, so then we are able to manifest our destiny, our true heart's desire, and our soul's desire. So, again, as you move into December and we move into the energy of 2014, is that remember that what you experience every day is the result of the thoughts that you are creating. And if every day seems like the same as the day before, then I encourage you, before you go to bed each night, to set the intention by changing the thoughts you have of the next day, rather than seeing it, oh, it's going to be the same old yada yada as it was the day before. See it as a day of new beginnings. See it as a day of a blank page in your journal, and whatever you write on it, meaning whatever thought you create, there's limitlessness in what you are potentially able to create. Let's turn that potential into physical manifestation and reality. All right, so I did say it's a Conversations with Carol show, so let's jump right in. Hi, Carrie. How are you, honey?
Oh, I am great, Carol. Thank you. Good. How are you?
I am great. Great. Nice to touch your energy again.
Oh, well, you have helped me so much in the past, and the last time I called, it was very similar to this time, and what I'm doing this time is I was wondering if I can ask a question on behalf of my husband, since he's at work right now.
Absolutely. I'll use you as a surrogate, and what that means is if he's open to the direction, I'm open to the direction.
Oh.
And if I may, excuse me for doing this, but I have to do this, is that you have some concerns, naturally. So if we could just, you and I, take those concerns and let's put them in a little glass box and let's see them as Cinderella's slippers.
Okay.
Okay, poof. Okay, now it's going to be easier for me to answer the questions, because it wasn't that your concern was blocking me. It's just that, again, their vibration, and we just want to get in. So, okay, so what can I help you with?
He would like to know if the protocol that his doctor has him on to get off blood pressure medication is going in the right direction and if it will eventually work. He's starting to get a little frustrated. It's been a little over a year, and it's been, we know, you know, from the testing that it's showing progress, but he's just getting to the point where he's starting to say things such as, you know, I'm never going to get off. I'm going to have to stay on these things my whole life. And he's having, like, joint problems and what have you, which he believes is related to the medication.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's absolutely accurate. The protocol that, in the combination of the protocol that the doctor has him on, and this is no reflection of the doctor, but the protocol itself actually peaked in what it was capable of producing in its results about 7 months into it. And where he is he reached that plateau that this protocol is able to create the results that the doctor wanted, and now it's to a place where it's not going any different than it's been. And so his asking that is very insightful of him, and what it's really doing is his body is basically saying to him, okay, well, that was good, and we've reached that place, but, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to go anywhere else, so what else do we need to look at? One of the things that he has an opportunity through his doctor, because the things that he works with, I'm going to call them anomalies, meaning that he always seems to kind of stretch the envelope, push the envelope in anything, the questions that he asks. And he's really a teacher for the doctor What I don't know is how receptive the doctor is to taking it to that next level. And what I mean by that is that the doctor has had, it feels like, really good results with this protocol, including your husband. But your husband says, okay, good results aren't what I'm looking for. I want to go beyond that. And I don't know if that the doctor's going to be open to that. One of the things that your husband can focus on, which the protocol has done, is he can think in terms of his liver. And what does his liver need? And I know it sounds kind of woo-woo, but it's like, okay, liver, what do you need? And what it needs, as I'm touching it, is that it needs to look at supplements different. It needs to look at medication different. It needs to be helped in the way that it cleanses a lot of the waste byproduct from the medication that he's on. And it's not doing him harm. It's just feels to me like it's just a protocol that feels like it's just going through the motion and it's loading him up. So in the liver, so he can look at things he can do from a dietary standpoint beyond what he's doing. It's almost like sitting back and, you know, he and I sitting in a chair and I'd look at him and I'd say, okay, so let's ask the liver exactly what does it need. And the liver would say, I need greens. I need a lot of greens. And part of the reason for that is because some of the reason that the medication isn't working and the protocol isn't working is because he's not getting the absorptions of the vitamin and minerals that he needs in order to keep everything functioning, including the liver, the way that it needs to. And by asking that, then he won't be inclined, nor would a doctor or someone else be inclined, says, okay, well, what we need to do is let's just change your vitamins. Let's change everything. He is still lacking in B12 and B6. And so there's things that he can look from a dietary standpoint that can work with the body without increasing cholesterol and then adding to some of the dynamics that the doctor put him on the protocol for. But he can look at things that are high in B6 and B12. The other aspect of it is that did he have blood work done, sweetie? Does he have it done?
He has it done at his doctor that's got him on the blood pressure medicine. This other doctor, it's something where they take saliva and urine and then they do the test. It's done in a way that it is mathematically calculated so that you don't have to have the blood taken, but he has had it taken at his doctor that has him on the blood pressure medicine. This other doctor does it all like natural with supplements. But his original doctor is not willing to take him off of the blood pressure medicine.
Well, I understand that because the protocol works. And it's working for your husband. It's just plateaued. It's
right.
Not going any further. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, it dropped it, but it didn't really drop it to where your husband knows he's capable of dropping it. And so that's the unrest that we feel in him, you and I, is the fact that he's, okay, this is fine, but it's not fine. He wants to do more and ultimately would like to get off the blood pressure medication, but we're going to have to do some things with the liver and to be able to get the liver what it needs. And that's the B6, the B12. I also picked up the reason I'd ask about the blood test is because many of the blood tests that are run right now, the doctor automatically in the test looks at the vitamin D. Your husband is low on vitamin D. He's not dropped off the charts, but he's low on vitamin D. That's changing how his body and his kidneys are working with calcium, bile salts, some of the things that are tied to the liver, tied to the digestion that seems to keep this in a plateau state. So we can look at the other person that he's working with. I would go in and suggest that he ask that person to literally muscle test all vitamins and all of his minerals. Just go through the laundry list and, you know, wherever that person wants to start with and do a muscle testing. What that person will find is that there will be some that he'll be a little bit low that could most likely be just handled through diet. And then there's going to be other things that we need to look at supplement or look at foods that are high in those minerals and those vitamins that's going to give your husband the stability of what he's looking for. The other part of the dynamics of this is that your husband feels to me very intense. And what I mean by that is that if a problem comes up, he feels like a dog on a bone. He's not going to let it go until he comes up with the decision. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. And so what he does is he ruminates in his mind. He fixates in his mind. It's just part of his decision-making process. But what he does is he feels to me like he's always in a fix-it mode. And there's nothing wrong with that, except it keeps us in that cycle of fixing, and it doesn't let the body relax nor the cells produce energy the way they need to, and it keeps us chemically out of balance. That takes a lot more supplementation in our vitamins and minerals to be able to give us the stability, balance, the harmony within our body. So strange as it sounds, is that what I would suggest is, okay, let's not fix it, but let's work with it. And there's a big difference mentally in that. Working with it means that it's a moving target. It has a dynamic activity and energy to it. And each day we approach it based on where we are. We can ask our body. He can ask his liver what it needs. And he can modify that day, both in stress and in what he eats, in order to be able to give the body the chance to do what it needs to. But when we try to mentally fix something, we're so fixated on the fixing that we keep ourselves in a state of stress, fight, flight, freeze. And then we're like a dog chasing its tail. It might be fun. And when we stop, we're dizzy and we didn't get anywhere.
That makes a lot of sense. Yes, absolutely. Well, that was one of the things on the this protocol that he's written out, because it's every month, you know, we order and it gets switched up to whatever, you know, is the next one that comes. And so he's got different things each month that he takes. And one of the things the doctor did mention was his thought process. That's what you were talking about at the opening of the show, very much so. Then, and I find my husband believes that you cannot change your thoughts. He's kind of that belief that, you know, you can't.
Well, he has the mind of a scientist.
Yes.
You know, and until you can prove it scientifically through blind studies or blood test or muscle testing or whatever, it still needs to be fixed. And there's nothing wrong with that, except when the mind fixates on fixing, then all the mind constantly looks for is it looks for things that are wrong in the body, and it becomes fixated on fixing what's wrong, and it forgets what it's really trying to fix, which is the blood pressure. Now it's trying to fix everything. And what that does is it gets the immune system involved. And when it does, then we get inflammation, which is the very source of what causes your husband's blood pressure to be where it is. And as I was going through that, you know, his liver just said, tell him to focus on quelling the inflammation. Stop being irritated with himself. That's a fixation. And then just look at how can he quell inflammation. If he can get the inflammation under control, then what will happen is that everything else is going to fall into place. And what the blood pressure medication does is it's basically removing any excess fluid, toxin. And it does address inflammation up to a point, but it doesn't address it to the point that it's in your husband's body, or any of us, for that matter, that are fixated on fixing.
Okay, so basically, go ahead and get lots of those greens and do the muscle testing, and then with his thoughts, like you were just mentioning, and then is it something where, because his ultimate question is, why bother? Because, well, his thoughts are, why bother? I'm just going to give up. Nothing is really working. Does it seem like, according to his body, that it is going in a direction that he can eventually get off of the blood pressure medicine, or is it something he will need to take for his life?
No, I really do believe he can get off of it.
Okay.
And that's one of the fallacies of many of the medications we get on, is once we're on it, it's forever. But we also know if somebody just cuts back on salt, it changes the blood pressure. If somebody loses weight, it changes the blood pressure. If someone has movement, and it's not even cardiovascular, it changes the dynamic of the blood pressure. But the main thing is it has to, we have to look at blood pressure as a chronic pattern of inflammation. And that's one of the things that medicine touches on, but they don't do at all. And in this particular case, I think with what he's doing is he's throwing everything at it because it plateaued. And it's like, well, nothing's working, so I'm going to throw everything at it. But I think with the muscle testing, we can throw at it what the deficiencies are, get those deficiencies back in balance. That changes the nature of the dynamics of his vascular system and the lymph system. And then we can start to quell that inflammation, and then I think he can get off of it.
Okay, and this particular doctor, it's not one he can see in person because he's in a different state. And so is it something where along with him, we could just do that muscle testing? Okay.
Yeah, because actually, honey, you feel like you're just a, kind of like a divining rod. Where, you could be the surrogate between the doctor and your husband to do the muscle testing.
Perfect. Great. That'd be wonderful.
And, what that'll do is it will help you become more trustful of the fact that you have this empathic, energetic nature about you, that you can be like a divining rod, or that you can use your intuition and use your muscle testing and your skills as a clairvoyant, clairsentient to be able to do the work that you came here to do. So that's part of it.
Beautiful. Great. Okay. Thank you, Carol.
Well, good. And if for any reason that he wants to listen to this, this will be up in my archives the end of the week. So just go to, again, my website, click on the radio, put the cursor on the radio tab at the top, and then click on archives, maybe Saturday or Sunday, and then this show will be there. And then he can actually listen to it as well, and that will give him a sense of, what to move forward. And when you said that his thoughts are that, this isn't going to work and he's just going to give up, for me and connected with him, I think that is absolutely great. Because what it says to him is, okay, I've tried things, it's not working, so I'm going to give up, meaning I'm going to stop trying to fix and I'm going to move into something else. So while our humanists may hear that as, oh my gosh, they're giving up, they're not really. From the mental, the soul standpoint, it's like, okay, good, you've worked around this for so many different directions, let's just free it up and move on. So there's a lot of value in that comment, even though, when we as are listening to our loved ones, it's like we get into that desperate place, like, oh my gosh, I need to help them more. But it's a great place from the soul standpoint. It's like, good, we're moving on. I like this.
Okay, well, I'm so excited for him to hear this personally, because I know it'll confirm with him, that what he's thinking, like you say, are very accurate thoughts as far as, that he did hit a plateau, so thank you.
He is right on, and 7 months into it, it's like something inside goes, okay, this was really good, but it's just not working. So very good. Well, thanks, Carrie, for calling me.
You.
I really, really appreciate it. Oh, very good. What I want to do is, because I went over my half-hour break, I'd like to take a quick commercial break, come back. I'm going to take the other callers that I have on the line, so hang in there, callers, and I'll be right back to share more of my medical intuitive skills. Stay tuned.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green?
Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, today is a Conversations with Carol show, and what that means is I'm taking calls. And my lines are full right now, so rather than going into any lengthy discussion and everything, let's just jump right on. Hi, Christine from New York. How can I help you, sweetie?
Hi, Carol. Thanks so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was actually just wondering if I'd like to change my question because of what you said in the beginning. I feel like I'm pretty need to focus on my thoughts.
Good. Very good.
Yes. Like made a lot of sense. I think you were speaking exactly to what I need to do, actually. It was pretty wow.
Yeah.
And then when the previous caller was talking, I was wondering if I could ask you about my father particularly.
Absolutely.
Okay. His name is George, and he's wonderful. He's 80, and he has chronic pain. And he hasn't really found much to manage it. However, the oxy is what he's been taking, and then he tried to get off of it this last summer, and he went through a big doozy where major withdrawal, and we haven't really found much to help with his pain. And the doctor's kind of, I guess there's a reality of, okay, he's 80, he's had chronic pain since, 42 when he was forced to retire. But I just wonder, what can I help him at all? I mean, he has diabetes. He has major sciatica pain. He had back surgery. And then his main pain is like the sciatica that goes down and the numbing and the pain in his feet.
Correct. Yeah. And then also that has some of the neuropathy energy that happens with diabetes. So he's kind of getting a double whammy, actually.
Exactly.
And that makes it really difficult to figure out, both for the doctors and for your dad, to figure out, what are we going to really treat? What's really, is there one that's even more prevalent or impacting the pain more than the other?
Exactly. Yeah. He has like a diabetes doctor who does pain and a neurologist who does a sciatica.
Exactly. Is he, and the reason that he got off the oxy?
Oh, we read an article together about how there's so many side effects.
Yeah.
So there was this big thing in an article, but he realized he really can't come off it.
And if I may offer from this standpoint, he really can't come off of it. And it's because of the habitual part. It just lets him be in his skin, honey.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says.
And,
I'm so grateful for it. I'm grateful for Oxy. So, yeah.
Yes. And the thing is that by being out of pain, then his body isn't having to work with glucose the way that it does when he really is in pain, meaning that he really has a hard time functioning. And so that inadvertently, honestly, is going to help him from the diabetes standpoint. I know that sounds strange. But
no, Carol, you were right on. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. When he's having an episode, his sugar gets out of whack.
It does because his cells are going, oh, my gosh, I'm in so much pain. I need more energy. It's asking the body, the reserves and the fat cells, the fluid, everything within him. It's saying, oh, my gosh, just throw me anything right now. So these little cells are screaming, give me energy. And what they do in that dynamics is they literally will pull from anywhere. They pull from glucose that isn't oxidized by the thyroid. They pull glucose that doesn't have the time and the oxidation for the insulin. And what they're doing is they're basically screaming, I'm starving to death. And so his blood sugar levels just go everywhere. So the oxy helps the mind mitigate the messages from his body of the pain. And so indirectly what it's doing is it's keeping the brain from coming in and being in that constant state of fight, flight, freeze, and fear that he has naturally over the pattern that he's not going to be able to function. Your dad's biggest thing in his whole life has been he needs to move and groove. And if anything, if you go back and you look at his history, anything that felt like it tethered him down, tied him down in a way that he wasn't able to move and be adaptable and flexible, it always created this limitation in his mind. And his world shrunk very quickly. When he hurt his back, his world shrunk very quickly.
Yeah.
And then it was like, well, can I work? Oh, I don't know if I can work. How can I take care of my family? Blah, blah. And he just got caught in this place where everything shrunk down. So from my standpoint, touching him, that yes, while the oxy does have side effects, there's no way of getting around it. In the case of your father where he is, he still has things on his agenda to be able to do. And he needs to feel like he can have the freedom of movement to be able to do it. And the oxy is very beneficial that way.
Yep, that makes sense.
Now, the one area that oxy does tend to impact what I mean is it tends to build up a residual, is that what it does is it can impact the functioning of the kidneys. And so
he already has kidney disease, actually. He's at 26%.
Yeah, well, actually, as long as he's been on the oxy and as long as he's been in pain, that is a great number, sweetie. I know that maybe when we look at it from the perspective that, you know, it needs to be 100%, but the fact of where he's been, it's been great. This is,
yeah, the doctors say that too. They're like,
yeah,
okay.
This is good because what it means is his kidneys are still functioning. They're still filtering out. They're still trying to get rid of the waste byproducts. So it's very, very good news. So the one thing, and I'm going to do it from a woo-woo perspective.
Sure.
The one thing for your dad is the right kidney, he's holding some resentment. Now, that, of course, can be toward his body. We don't have to be a medical intuitive. But it can also be the resentment that's built about the regret of what he hasn't been able to do. So you can help him focus on what he is able to do and focus on what he would like to do, and that will help change the thoughts from being feeling like the world is shrinking to the world expanding. You can help him with that. And it's listening, and it's, you know, if he says, well, I'd like to do this, we'll jump on it and help him do it. And, you know, show him, buy him books, do whatever it needs to. That will help him. The other part is that this regret is shame. And one of the things is that your dad has been working his whole life to get rid of a lot of the impact that his father and his father's opinions. His father wasn't a mean man, but he wasn't the kindest of heart. Let me say it that way.
He was pretty mean, actually.
Yeah. And the thing is, he really wasn't mean. It was how it impacted your husband from the standpoint, your husband. Whoa, that was a Freudian slip. I'll come back to that.
my father, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
It's tied
to that, yes.
Yeah, he was my grandfather was a really bad drinker. He didn't beat my dad or anything, but they lost their house, they got kicked out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All that.
Yep. So there's some shame around that. Now, your husband's energy came in there, and that wasn't a Freudian slip, because your husband is at a tipping point in his life, in his age, looking at the future and what he wants to do.
Yes. Yes.
And then
trying to figure out what it was. He's having so much regret right now. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So there's your father with the regret. There's your husband with the regret. So, you know, one of the things about you is you're like a little happy meister, sweetie. And you're an excellent listener. So when you listen, then you don't have to have the answers. So don't get caught in the accountability part of it. But just offer a different perception. And, you know, if they take it, woohoo. If they don't, woohoo. But just keep doing that, and what that's going to do is it's going to help you do your work, and your work is all about shifting the perception of the thoughts we get caught up in. You provoke thought. That's your work on this earth plane. You do it by creating awareness. Sometimes that creates confusion in the others. In others, I want to pull out my box of gold stars and go, good going, Christine. Look at how much confusion you created there, sweetie. They're not even going to repeat that pattern. They're going to think differently. If you
see yourself
as creating confusion and it's a bad thing, then now you'll get caught up in this loop as well. So as far as your father, let's let him go. Let's let him do the oxy. Let's be a part of his dreams. Let's listen to his thoughts. Let's do. Oh, I hear that. Let this beautiful little yucky yucky that has so much to say.
Yeah,
be
that's
a part of
grandson.
All of it, and that's it. Yep. And then just go for it. And, you know, day at a time, and your dad's still got a lot of work to do. He's not ready to check out by any means. So
no,
he just
he's not.
Fix,
and that's
yeah.
why he wanted to get off of it, but he can't. And that's okay. And I bless it, you know. So
absolutely. And if you can even, you know, change the perception and, you know, if he's open to listen to the show, take him to the archives and have him listen to this. And I mean, I certainly don't have all the answers, but he's so open to me that he just like opened his heart and said, okay, Carol, give me a look. Let me see.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Give me a look and do things like that and just keep the process of keeping the thought, the mental part really active, because if he's in pain, he can't mentally connect with anything. When he's not, then he's mentally very expansive. So it's a good thing. And the fact he's 20%, 26% in his kidneys, oh my gosh, how wonderful, miraculous is that?
Yeah, that's true. So, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just
change
a good thought. Yep, good thing on that one. So again, I think that will help you. And what it'll also do, sweetie, is for you personally, is that you've got this something inside. It's really big. It needs to be put into words. It feels like it might be a book, but it doesn't feel like a book. Maybe it's a children's book. Maybe it's about looking at life from a different perspective, the eyes of a child. There's something about your connection with your son and the crystal that he is and the crystal that you are. I'm going to call you an elder indigo, but you're not really elder. You're just wise. And so it's for you to put all of this into words. Maybe how do we look at the life through a different lens or something? There's something big that's all of this that you're experiencing is moving you forward to recognize it. And I don't know, for some reason, it feels like March or April is going to be a real pivotal time for you to start. And I think this might be tied to career versus job, and things are going to really kick loose for you.
Oh, I'm feeling that, too. That's what I'm feeling. That's my goal.
Yep. And again, you're looking at a career. You're not looking at a job.
Right.
Big change of perception, sweetie.
Oh.
A career
Amen.
Is what we do to earn a living while we're having fun doing what we're doing. A job is that we earn a living, and it isn't always a piece of cake nor fun. And it just becomes laborious and obligatory. And a career in your particular case, and with all of us actually, in the thought of a career, it's like, oh, my gosh, I get to do what I really like to do, and I get to make money and have quality of life and all the rest of it. Woohoo! Life is good.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, because I've kind of been – and stuck in the mud a little bit.
You're just stuck in third chakra, and third chakra is trying to figure out why you're stuck in first chakra, and that's mud, and that's poop, and that's, you know, all the rest of the good words. You're just, what you're doing, sweetie, is you're just the people around you whom you love are focused on survival. They're not focused on thriving and change. I don't mean that with judgment. But when you get inundated with that type of energy in that survival mode, such as your father and even your husband to some degree, then what's going to happen is you're going to try to help them fix what they need for survival instead of going up to your third chakra and your sense of self and saying, okay, elevator's going up. Let's just look at this differently. Let's look at it from our intuition. Let's look at it from a bigger picture. What are the possibilities?
Oh, wow.
That's your work. That's your work.
That's my work.
That's your work. So when you're stuck in the mud, it's really not mud. It stinks really bad, sweet.
Yeah.
I'm on the air and can't use the word. I'm sure that my producer is over there. She's just laughing along with us. I am sure that's happening. So anyway,
I get it.
I know you got it, sweetie. Thanks. You were really good in sending that, both visual and clairsentience, where I could actually feel it and touch it and smell it. So there you go. You're just darn good. So,
thanks
all
so
right.
Much.
Well, thank you, my love. And, you know, good job from your father's standpoint. So please let him know that as well. All right. Well, I've got some other callers. Please, my apology that it just seemed that it just wasn't able to come on and to do that and answer your questions. So go within, look for what you're trying to find in your answers, find them within, and expand your thought process around it. And I believe that both of you are going to find a different perception and different answers. Again, love the Conversations with Carol show. Love all of you. Thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful week. Light and love to you, and I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.